If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. Sopranos, I'm back. Just want to let you know. I heard the word that you couldn't ever see me because of the screen, so just want to let you know we're back. Don't get used to it, but I'm back. All right, that's good. We're into March. It's the beginning of March. When you come into Alabama and you come into Birmingham and it's March and April, we are ready for storms. It just kind of happens, doesn't it? All of a sudden you're cruising along and then a big thunderstorm comes up, or maybe even tornado warnings, and you get March and April, and it's sort of a stormy month for us. And storms come and they can affect our lives. It's interesting because the Bible talks about different types of storms. And it even has a recording of an event to where Jesus was with his disciples in the midst of a storm. And so today I want to talk to you about the power and presence of Jesus. The power and the presence of Jesus. And in Mark chapter 4, in that chapter, Jesus has been teaching. And he's been teaching and sharing with a lot of people. And the day is coming to a close, and it's getting about evening time. And he's ready to sail on to the other side of the sea. It says in, if you follow with me, in the 35th verse of the 4th chapter, he says, "And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him, and they said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?'" I want us to look at the power and the presence of Jesus. Are you ready? Number one, the power of Jesus calms the storm. The power of Jesus calms the storm. Verse 35 says, "It had been a full day of teaching. And after they had been teaching for a long time, he was there, got in the boat with the disciples. He's there on the Sea of Galilee. And he says, 'Guys, I tell you what, let's go across the sea and let's go to the other side.' And that was his instructions. And they said, 'Okay.' And they began to make way. And so they're heading across the Sea of Galilee. And as they're heading across the Sea of Galilee, all of a sudden, in verse 37, it says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat." It said a windstorm arose, and waves and the water were coming into the boat. Now, on the Sea of Galilee, the way it's located, it is located in a basin. It's surrounded by mountains. And so it's in this basin. It's 700 feet below sea level. And what will happen is that the cool upper air of the mountains will begin to come down, and the warm air from the Sea of Galilee become, and they meet them, and when they meet, it causes tempestuous conditions. Right now, Stephanie Walker is so impressed with me. This is like the meteorological end of me, and this is all I know as a meteorologist. But when those come, it causes these storms, and they can happen in a moment. I mean, they can happen even before you know it. And I experienced this on one of our mission trips to Israel, and we were on one side of on the Sea of Galilee. We had had lunch, and we were preparing to go to Capernaum and go head over the other. We got in a boat, and there are a number of us that were in the boat, and we are traveling, and it's calm. It's nice. We're just enjoying life. And we got about halfway across, and all of a sudden, this wind starts picking up, and I mean, we're holding on. I'm holding on to the boat. It's blowing so hard, and now it's getting choppy, and the waves are going, and I said, "Jesus is getting ready to walk across the water any day now." I was looking for him out there in your hometown, big guy, come across. But that's a different story. That's not this story. And so, but it came up just like that. And it's amazing because when we did get to the other side, it's like I had this biblical moment of saying, you know, I was experienced, naturally not the fear that they had, but I experienced what it's like to be in something like that, probably a little bit on a smaller scale, but it just came out of nowhere. And so that happens a lot on that lake. And so these guys have had that happen before. So we want to always keep that in mind as you begin to go through this. But as I began to think about my trip across the Sea of Galilee, it started out pretty smooth. And I made a decision to get on a boat and then began to travel to the other side to get to Capernaum. And so it's a lot like a Christian life to where people make a decision for Christ and they say, I want to be a Christ follower. I understand what the Bible teaches, that I'm a sinner, I'm separated from God, and that Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins. And when he died for my sins and then was raised from the dead, he conquered sin, conquered death, and offers me the opportunity to become a child of God. And he asked me to be his follower. And so when I follow him, it's like getting in the boat and now all of a sudden we're traveling. And too often when we get on that boat, we feel like it's going to be a pretty much a no-hassle, smooth life because I'm traveling with Jesus and I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do. But we got to understand and realize that a Christian life is no guarantee of a smooth, no-hassles life. You're not guaranteed a life of clear complexion, six-pack abs, whiter teeth, good health, perfect kids, high-yielding investments, and endless promotions. That's not part of the Christian life. You will encounter storms, even with Jesus traveling with you. And in a congregation of this size, there are some of you that have come in today that are soaking wet because you're sitting in your boat traveling across the sea. The waves are raging, the water's filling up, and you've come here today soaking wet looking for some respite, for some hope. And so just understand that storms will come. There are no guarantees of a smooth life. Storms will come. There are no guarantees of a smooth life. But let me tell you the second thing, and that is the storms will come unexpectedly. Storms will come unexpectedly. If you look at the wording over here, it says a great windstorm arose. That word in the original language describes something that happens unexpectedly, something that catches you off guard, something that takes you by surprise. Which means you've got fishermen that have grown up in this area and they have fished this lake and they've traveled it to and fro throughout all of their life. And then while they're on it, unexpectedly this storm came up. Now, probably these guys can get a pretty good bearing as to, uh-oh, there could be a storm here. We got to be careful here. In this case, it completely took them off guard. It caught them off guard. Unexpected, this storm. It just kind of like came out of nowhere. And it's so much like our life because when troubles come to us, they'll blindside us. I mean, you're thinking everything's good. You go in for a routine physical with your doctor, and all of a sudden you get a phone call a week later, and they give you a report of something that is so negative that you could not even imagine it. And for some, it's that you get called in your boss's office, and all of a sudden he has to share the news with you, or she shares the news with you that they're doing some cutbacks and some layoffs, and they're going to have to lay you off. You may have a situation where you've got a relationship that was in great shape. You thought everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, everything just fell apart. You just got blindsided by this. Sometimes you will find a little small leak in your house and you think it's no big problem. Then you call and the guy comes out and says, hey, this is major renovation. And you just get blindsided by things. See, storms come unexpectedly. Sometimes we can predict them. You live life long enough, you can almost see it. You can see it with your kids. You can see it with your job. You can see it in relationships. You can say, oh, this is going to be a little problem. But there are other times where it just blindsides you. And you just get knocked for a loop. And you said, I just didn't see this coming. Had no idea this was happening. And this is the way it was with these disciples. Storms will come unexpectedly. But let me tell you the third point, and that is storms cause you to ask God, do you care? Storms cause you to ask God, do you care? In verse 38, it says, but Jesus was in the stern asleep on the cushion. So, hey, next time that your dad or your husband say he can sleep through anything, He's just being Jesus, okay? You can sleep through a storm. Hey, Jesus is good too. Well, preaching is hard business. It'll wear you out. And he's tired. And on a boat of those kind they had, there was an elevated area called the stern. And there would be a cushion there, a seat there, to where a person could be. They could recline. They could be there. And that's what he did. And he was asleep. And so as these guys are bailing water and fighting the battles of the raging sea, it says Jesus is asleep. And they woke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" The first words out of their mouth is, "Do you not care that we're perishing?" There was a rudeness and there was an abruptness to that. Now, this is shown in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and Mark. And Mark is my favorite because it's more of a personal eyewitness account. Most believe that Mark got a lot of his information from Peter, who was right there with Jesus in the inner three, and that him being a fisherman, I love this account. In Matthew's account, it says that what they said is, "Lord, save us." And probably somewhere in the conversation they did. And in Luke's account, it says, "Master, we're going to drown." Somewhere in the conversation, they probably said that. But in the eyewitness account, as Mark captures it, it is them waking him up, and with a rudeness and abruptness, they are saying, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" I mean, they're scared, they're angry, they're mad, and they're looking to him, and they say, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" These guys were experts on the sea. They'd handled these kind of storms throughout their whole life. But there's something different about this one, because there was panic. And when there was panic, they awoke the master. And they didn't just wake him up and say, "Hey, we really need some help right over here," and all that. It was a guy kind of got in his face. "Do you not care that we're perishing? Do you not care?" When we encounter storms, oftentimes our first response is to look to God and say, "Do you not care? Do you not care that I'm drowning here? Do you not care what is happening? Are you just indifferent to my situation?" And then on top of that, we say, "Why don't you just do something? Just do something. Do you care? Do something. The doctor said there's a malignancy. Do something. Heal it. Get rid of it. I lost my job. Find me another one. Don't you care? Find me a job. There's a death in the family. Where were you? Why didn't you prevent that? Do you not care about me?" And whatever situation comes into our life where we begin to get in these storms and get blindsided by them, it just seems that a default response is, "Lord, do you not care that I'm perishing? I'm drowning here. I have made a decision to follow you. I've committed my life to you. And my question is, where are you? And you're just asleep on the boat and you don't care for me at all." That brings you to the fourth point. And that is that storms can be calmed by Jesus. Storms can be calmed by Jesus. In the midst of the panic of the disciples, when they awoke him, I love what Jesus did. Look what he says. Verse 39, "And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still. Peace, be still.'" I want to get the video of that. Too often, you know, we get the old movies and Jesus arose and he says, "Peace, be still." I don't know. I think he said it probably a little different personally. But you know what it means? One translation says, "Hush, be muzzled." One translation says, "Be still and stay still. Settle down, big fella." Whoa, big fella. What happened? The sovereign Lord, the agent of creation, spoke to creation. And in essence, he says, "Hey, I created you. It's time to settle down. Let's just be still right now." Now, we've read this story, and we know that. And you know what's getting ready to happen when I turn the page, right? Can you say, "Yeah, when he did it, everything slowed down." But look at it closely. "And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." The wind ceased, and it was a great calm. Okay, put in your mind, winds are blowing, gale force winds. Okay, water's coming into the boat. You arouse Jesus. He looks up. He stands up. And he says, "Peace, be still." And then all of a sudden, he goes to a great calm. Now, got a show of hands here. How many of you have ever been in a storm? Raise your hand. Okay, if some of your hands were not up, you got a lot of life to live, okay? Just get in the weather. Follow the Weather Channel, and if you see there's a storm, drive there and be in it. Okay, we've seen storms, and you've been on the storms, and maybe you've been on a lake, or you've been in an ocean or so, or at a beach, and it comes in, it's real bad, and then all of a sudden it begins to slowly clear up. You know how that happens? And all of a sudden it's not quite as windy, not quite as rainy, everything kind of gets over there. That's not what happened here. This is immediately. He said, peace be still, and it's calm. And it went to a great calm. A great calm. Now, I want you to picture in your mind a bunch of waves on a lake, your boat's getting tossed to and fro, and then within a matter of seconds, it's like glass. To where you couldn't even hear yourself think 15 seconds ago, and now you can hear distant conversations on the other side of the lake because it's so quiet. That's pretty miraculous. He didn't just say, hey, peace, slow it down. Peace, be still. He calmed it. And I mean, he calmed it good. It was a great calm. And so all of a sudden, we're looking at this storm and you've got the disciples that are asking him for help. And Jesus steps up and he says, peace be still. I've got good news for you. And that is that Jesus can apply his power to whatever storm that you're encountering. And he can calm the storm and can bring you relief and he can bring you victory. There are times when he chooses to intervene and impact the external circumstances of your life. There are times when the storm that's raging around you, God, through his sovereignty, steps in and affects those external circumstances around you. And that happens. But you see, there are other times where he internally calms the storm that is inside of you. Because there's that internal storm that you're dealing with of doubt and anger and confusion. And there may be some external things that are causing that, but what the more powerful victory is when God says, I'm going to try to calm the storm that's happening inside of you right now. And he says he can stand up and say, peace be still, and begin to calm that. I love the song that Casting Crowns sang, Who Am I? It says, who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? The voice that calmed the sea, the same Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago who stood up in a boat and he calmed the sea, is the same one who calls his voice out to calm the soul in me. But you see, there's this incredible storm in my soul that's just going on. And you know what he does? He calls out to my name and he says, I want to calm you and I'm going to calm that storm. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. And not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Storms can be calmed by Jesus. Let me tell you the last point on this part, and that is the storms can make us more aware of the power of God. Storms can make us more aware of the power of God. I remember I've read this story so many times, and I've just got to tell you, my first reaction was I just didn't get verse 40, okay? He then said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? You know, I just want to sit there and say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is like the storms of storms. I mean, there's water coming into the boat. We're out in the middle of the lake. Looks like we're going to sink. And you're saying, why are you afraid? That's just me. You probably wouldn't have acted that way on there. And I remember reading that, and I was reading commentaries. It says, and then he turned and rebuked the disciples. What? What are you rebuking them for? They're just being normal. They're saying, I'm scared. I'd have been scared. But he says, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Why are you still afraid? Why do you still have no faith? We're going to deal with that in just a moment. But while he's rebuking them, look how what their response is. Verse 41, and they were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the winds and the seas obey them? Now, they were kind of scared anyway. They had a cowardly fear. Now, all of a sudden, it's been replaced with a fear of reverence and awe. They were greatly fearful. So what has happened is that what Jesus has done is taken a great windstorm, turned it into a great calm, which has now turned into a great fear for the disciples. And the reason there's a great fear for the disciples is because they just saw Jesus do something that they never expected him to do. And what just happened there, it trumped the fear they had of the storm. They didn't think they could get much scarier here, but all of a sudden, oh my gosh, there's a reverence here that's incredible on that. And they asked the question, who is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? Now, I tell you what, we've seen him do some healing ministries, and that kind of blew my mind. And when he cast that demon out of that person, whoa, that was something I wasn't expecting over there. And I've heard him talk about forgiving sins. I can't really see that, but I've heard him say that. But now he's standing up, and he's rebuking the winds and the waves. You say, well, Danny, why would that throw you so much? Well, because these guys understood what the Old Testament teachings were during that day. And it says in Psalm 89:9, you are the one, talking about God, you are the one who rules the oceans. And when their waves rise in fearful storms, you subdue them. Only God subdues the waves. And yet Jesus stood up and did that. Now, if you've got your Bibles open and you can kind of put your finger on Mark 4, I want you to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Always learned growing up, the easiest book to find in all the Bible. Just take your Bible, open in the middle, and you're going to hit a psalm somewhere. All right. And we go Psalm 107. And the great thing about that is they're numbered one after the other. So if you find 106, 107's right next door. All right. Psalm 107. And in fact, my Bible is pretty much almost the middle. Psalm 107. And I want to just read. I want you to follow through this, starting in the 23rd verse. And just listen to this and see if this was a familiar passage for you as one of the men on the boat, and then think about it. He says, some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waves, and they saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and he raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Whoa. The psalmist is talking about God. And now all of a sudden, these men in this boat just saw that take place. They just saw this person, the Messiah, who they're still trying to figure all of this out, stand up and say, I'm doing what only God can do. And what they did was they saw something about him that they did not know before. And so what happens is they saw the same power and authority that belongs to Jesus, and he did what only God can do. And so in the midst of the storm, God revealed himself in a mighty way. And I don't want you to miss this, is that he stretched their understanding of who he was, and it terrified them as they realized that Jesus was more than the Messiah who could heal and cast out demons. He was the Lord over nature, and this is a big-time revelation. It is in the midst of a storm that God reveals more of who he is and he displays more of his power. God uses storms in our life to display more of who he is. You see, when everything's just going kind of hunky-dory and going great, there's some things we learn about God. But once the storms come in, then all of a sudden we find ourselves going towards him more. But at the same time, we see him revealing things about himself that we didn't even know. And for these disciples, as they're on this learning journey as to who is this Jesus of Nazareth, who claims to be the Messiah. They're learning more and more, and all of a sudden, they have just seen him do a nature miracle that's beyond any explanation. And they grew up in their own Sunday schools, learning that only God is the one that can still the storm and calm the waves. And yet this only God can do this. A man just stood up in the boat and did the exact same thing. I see him as more than I thought he was before. I'll guarantee you, congregation, that when you walk through the waters and you go through difficult storms and you begin to cry out to God and God begins to intervene in your life, he may not do something with the circumstances, but he can do something in your heart that all of a sudden you will see him in a whole new light. And you'll get to the point to where you say, God, I'd love for the circumstances to change, but you know what? Just the fact of what I've learned more about you and experienced your love, it's worth it right now. You see, it's the power of God and the power of Jesus. He can calm the storms. But let me close with this. It's the presence of Jesus that protects you through the storm. It's the presence of Jesus that protects you through the storm. Every time I've read this story, there were two statements that come up to my mind that I always ask myself. The first question I ask is this: why did they waken Jesus and what did they expect him to do? Okay, I want you to stay with me. Why did they waken Jesus and what did they expect him to do? Okay, let's just talk for a minute about what they knew about Jesus. Okay, where was Jesus from? Where did he grow up? Anybody know? Nazareth. All right, Nazareth. If anybody took out a Bible map, how many lakes are there around Nazareth? Anybody know? It's between zero and zero. What do you, there are no big lakes or seas there. All right. And then for a living, what did Jesus do before he started preaching? He's a carpenter, right? He's a carpenter. He's in landlocked Nazareth. Since we've been hanging around with him, we found out that he can heal people when they're sick. He can cast out some demons. Okay. What does a landlocked carpenter that can heal the sick and cast out demons, what help is he going to be for you in a boat in the middle of a lake with the storm raging and the waters coming in and you as a professional fisherman don't really know what you're supposed to do? What's he going to do? Have you ever thought about that? See how it's got me thinking? If that would be like if there was a major repair project in the house and my wife awakened me and said, Danny, you got to fix this. I have no skills, okay? And I'm sitting there thinking, I said, why did they awaken him? What did they expect him to do? Now, not one of you can say, oh, they expect him to calm the sea. Not at all. Because when he calmed the sea, what was their response? Whoa, dude. I mean, they'd never seen this. They were terrified. They had no idea he was going to do that. So what was he going to do? I don't know. What did they expect him to do? So I'm not really sure. But you know, they did wake him up. You know why they woke him up? It's because he was their leader. He was the one that they were following. He was the one who said he was the Messiah. And they had enough trust in him to say, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know what's supposed to happen right now. I don't know how we're going to get out of this. But you're the one person that we're following. And I just got to believe you can do something. And I'm not really sure what it is. I thought about my life and I said, that's kind of my life. Because there are things that will come up in my life and it's almost like my natural tendency is to cry out to God and say, God, I just need your help with this. In the back of my mind, though, I'm thinking, what could he actually do to help me in this? But why do I call out to him? Because he is God. He is the sovereign God. He's omnipotent, and he's all-powerful, and he loves me more than anyone. And so I call out to him, and I say, God, all I know to do is to come to you. I'm hurting. I'm either in a difficult situation or circumstances or this way or that way, or I'm feeling this way or that way, and all I know to do is to get on my knees and get on my face and come before you and say, God, I need your help. But too often I'm like the disciples to where not only do I rouse him, but I rebuke him. Where are you? I need you now. But you see, his presence was right there. And because his presence was with them, that was the very first go-to that they did. And they went to him. And when they went to him, then guess what he did? He comes up, stills the storm. Everything's good. But just as these guys over here are rejoicing, he turns around and rebukes them. And he says, why are you afraid, you have little faith? Well, you know, like I said, why shouldn't they be afraid in there? And he said, you know, you've been through a lot of storms before, right? Been through them all our lives. You've probably gotten scared a few times before, probably have. But this one is different than any of the other storms that you've ever experienced. You know why that is? Because on this one, Jesus is in the boat. This is the first one you've had since we've been following each other, that you've been following me, that I've been in the boat with you. And you know what? Just by the fact that I'm in the boat with you, should let you know that my presence is enough. And you know what? I am the Lord of the wind and the waves. And when I told you, let's go and let's get to the other side, we're going to get to the other side. I didn't say it was going to be simple. I just said we're going to make it to the other side. And there may be some waves and there may be some strong winds, but you know what? You got the Lord of the wind and the waves sitting right here on your boat with you. This is why this is different. This is why you shouldn't be afraid. This is why I'm asking you, why are you of little faith? Because if you would just trust me, you would know that I'm going to get you to the destination I promised you, and you should know that I'm the Lord of the wind and the Lord of the waves. You don't need to be fearful. You see, he wasn't panicking. He wasn't sleeping because of indifference. He was sleeping because he was in control, and there was nothing to fear. And the disciples needed Jesus to do things. Jesus just wanted them to trust him. He wanted them to know that his very presence is all they needed to survive. And he said, I want you just to learn this lesson. I read a statement a number of years ago where it says, God does not promise exemption from the storm, but protection through the storm. God does not promise exemption from the storm, but protection through the storm. Just because we walk with God doesn't mean we won't have storms, but he does say, I will protect you through the storms. One of the most memorable scripture passages is the 23rd Psalm. You know, in the 23rd Psalm, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because what? Thou art with me. That's his presence. Thou art with me. That's his presence. You look at Psalm 46, and in Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. An ever-present help in trouble. You see, his presence is all we need. Sometimes the Lord does not calm the storm, but he will calm you. He'll not always bring peace to your circumstances, but he does bring peace to your spirit. And the greatest faith is shown is when God brings a peace to your spirit and not to your circumstances. And we don't like to hear that. If we could make a choice, would you ever have peace in your circumstances or peace in your soul? A lot of us would choose our circumstances. I'd rather have peace in the circumstances. You know, but the way God operates is he'd rather you get a peace in your soul. If you can get a peace in your soul, then when circumstances change and difficulties come your way, you'll be more ready. If it's just peace and circumstances, then it just means, hey, I dodged a bullet. But you know, weeks or months later, there's going to be another circumstance. And what he wanted for these guys is to know, my presence is enough. My presence is enough. And you need to know that I'm with you. And after he ascended to heaven and he gave us the Holy Spirit, we need to know that his presence is with us. And when you're in the boat and the waters are coming in and the storm is raging, it's not that you've got some distant God that you're calling out to, hoping he will know your plight. He is right there with you. He's there with you. And he's saying, trust me. My presence is with you. Our goal is to get to the point where his presence is enough. We shouldn't base our faith on him removing the trouble, but gain strength with the knowledge that he is ever present. And so what's our greatest need today? Our greatest need is to draw near to God so that he will draw near to me. Vance Havner, was an evangelist when I was growing up, and I loved to hear he had some great statements. He made this statement: God's presence with us is too often an assumption in our heads instead of an awareness in our hearts. One more time. God's presence with us is too often an assumption in our heads instead of an awareness in our hearts. See, when you walk out today, you can take this message and say, in my head, I know that Jesus is always with me. And when I go through difficult times and the waters are coming into the boat, I know he's with me in my head. But you know, sometimes when the firing starts and all the shooting's going off, we kind of forget all that and we begin to panic. And what Vance Havner said is it's not so much to have the assumption in your head, it's the awareness in your heart. And the awareness in your heart means that when I draw near to God, God will draw near to me. And I begin to learn more about him. And I've got his word in my heart. I'm hiding his word in my heart. And when I put his word in my heart and I'm building that relationship with him, then when those storms come and when that water starts coming into the boat, I'm not having to do some kind of mental gymnastics to say, is God here or not? Or I think I heard it in a sermon. I think that there's an awareness in your heart. And there's that certainty of saying, God, you're with me. You're with me. And I can call out to you, and I can cry out to you, but I know that your presence is there. And that awareness within your heart gives you that awareness that Jesus is with you. And as you travel through this life, oh, it makes it so good. Because when I get that awareness in my heart, and then I go through that storm, then all of a sudden God shows me a little bit more about himself. And then I get this greater love for him because I know more about him. And then the next storm comes up, and I've continued to have this awareness in my heart, and I've moved up to a new level in my walk with him. And because I'm in that new level of my walk with him, then I learn even more about him, and I'm growing more and more and more in my relationship with him, and it's getting richer and richer and richer. And that's when people come and they look at you and they say, how in the world did you make it through that difficult situation? And then you've also got a platform to tell others and say, well, let me tell you, it's because of what Jesus did. It's the presence. He has the power to calm the storms. Sometimes externally, he'll change the circumstances. Other times, internally, he'll do a work in your heart. And his presence will get you through the storms. My heart goes out to you. For those that are soaking wet, sitting in your boat today with water coming in. And I just want to let you know that you have a Savior that loves you more than anyone. And that his presence is there. There's some of you that walked in today and you say, Danny, I'm soaking wet and I don't even know who Jesus is. Well, you know what? He's standing right there. He's wanting to get in the boat with you. More than anything, he desires to build that love relationship with you. It's his desire for you to make that decision to bring him on board and to connect your life with him. And you can do that through asking him to forgive you of your sins and then praying a prayer of asking him to step into your life. And when that happens, the Bible says that he comes in, his Holy Spirit comes, and you become a child of God. And that can happen for you today. So for all of us, let's be thankful that God has the power to calm the storm. And let's also remember that his presence is what will guide us through the storm. Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Father, I thank you for the truths of your word. And I thank you for both the power and the presence of your son, Jesus. I pray for those, Lord, today who do not know you as Savior, who are either watching this on live stream or there in our worship center, and they've never made a decision for you. I ask that your Holy Spirit would draw them to yourself and that right now in this service, they would feel compelled to make that decision. And I encourage you, if you find yourself in that situation, to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart today. And Lord, I pray for our congregation of Christ followers trying to walk with you and for you every day of their lives. And that for some that are right now going through the hard times, that your presence would provide them a comfort. Lord, I pray that this message would resonate others and that you would deposit it in their mind and their heart so that weeks, months down the road, when the unexpected storm hits, that when they cry out to you, it's not in a rebuke,
but it's as a child calling to a parent and looking for your help and for you to display your power in their life. Lord, we love you. We're just so thankful that you have a love for us, that you were willing to send your son to die for us. So not only can we live for you here on earth, but we can spend eternity with you in heaven. So we pray that during this response time, that as we sing, that you would use those words to speak to our hearts. Guide us, direct us, challenge us, convict us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.